puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's been a while, Gordon. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Time for Banda, Manitoba. What are we discussing this week?
Well, during my travels around Manitoba, I have come across countless former churches, many of them from such common faiths as Roman Catholic, Ukrainian Orthodox, Anglican, and United.
Wasn't there a former church on the MHS's endangered building list for 2025?
Yes, yes, there was. Lauder United in the wee village of Lauder in western Manitoba. It closed in June. But there may still be hope for this nice old building from 1904. I heard recently from a person who's trying to save the church as a venue for weddings, funerals, and other public gatherings. And I really do commend them for their effort. Most of the former church buildings around the province were built by what we might call mainstream Christian denominations, mostly Catholics or Protestants. But today, we're going to consider former places of worship that were constructed by less well-known Christian denominations, specifically four of them.
So what's the first one?
Well, many people think of the Salvation Army as a public charity that works on behalf of less privileged members of society. It's worth remembering, though, that it is also a religion established in London, England in 1865. There are quite a few former Salvation Army buildings around Winnipeg, and in keeping with the military terminology favored by the church, they're called halls or barracks or citadels. The oldest of Manitoba's Salvation Army halls, completed in 1901, is on Rupert Avenue here in Winnipeg. We've discussed it before, way back in 2018, and unfortunately, it's been vacant a very long time. The Salvation Army moved out in 1986, and there have been plans to restore it, but it still remains empty today. But fortunately, other Salvation Army buildings have had a what I would call rosier outcome.
What's their story?
Well, two MHS volunteers, Nathan Kramer and Jordan Makachuk, have been researching the history of a few former Salvation Army halls. One of them, on Elgin Avenue here in Winnipeg, was completed in 1911, and it had a main floor auditorium with seating for anywhere from 200 to 250 people, and then there was a space in the basement for a Sunday school. Now, the church wasn't there very long. In fact, around 1929, they moved to another building on Sherbrooke Street. And that church, by the way, on Sherbrooke, is now home to a Unitarian church. And the former hall on Elgin Avenue, well, it stood vacant for a few years, but it was repurposed as a community center and then a Legion Hall. In the mid-1960s, it was renovated into an apartment block, and it remains that way today. So it's still being used, and that's good. The building also has a twin, you know, almost identical in appearance, on Pritchard Avenue, and it's presently undergoing a similar residential transformation. That building, also opened in 1911, was vacated by the Salvation Army around 1925, and it became known as the Hebrew Friends Temple. Now, it has been empty for a number of years, but we're watching right now because the present owner seems to be renovating it into residential space. So that's good. And there is one former Salvation Army building that exists in a way at Carberry.
What do you mean, exists in a way?
Well, there is a one-story brick building on Carberry's main street that was built in 1942 using bricks that they salvaged from a former Salvation Army building. So in other words, the building itself isn't there, but the materials from which it was built is. And so I think that in some ways still counts as a former Salvation Army building. The new building was occupied by a Pentecostal congregation, an evangelical Christian faith that originated in California in the early 1900s. Known as Calvary Pentecostal Church, it closed, well, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe somebody from Carberry can set me straight. Either in the late 1990s or the early 2000s. I couldn't tell for sure. The building has, however, been used successively as a clothing store, a law office, an accounting office, a real estate office. I'm not even sure what it is right now, but it's been used for a lot of different things over the last few years. But to my knowledge, there are actually also two other former Pentecostal churches that survive in Manitoba.
And where are they?
Well, another one is in the village of St. Owens, a little wee place east of Beausejour. The church was built in 1964, although the congregation itself had arisen several decades earlier, and they worship in a variety of places. In 2008, the building was renamed the St. Owens Country Church. And I'm just speculating here, but I think that probably reflects the reality that there simply weren't enough Pentecostal congregants to justify the original name. They're more inclusive. And our final Pentecostal example is on Ross Avenue here in Winnipeg. Built in the early 1950s as a German gospel church, it went through several denominations and was briefly a Pentecostal church in the late 1950s or early 1960s. But what's really quite neat is that in 1976, community activist Geraldine McNamara used the building to establish Rossbrook House, a drop-in center for children and young adults, which of course remains in operation today.
So that's two of the denominations of the four that you mentioned. What are the others?
Well, we have the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, founded in 1830 and referred to, I think, more commonly as the Mormon Church. It has adherents in several U.S. states as well as in Alberta. Now, what is less well known, in fact was completely unknown to me, is that Mormon missionaries worked in Manitoba as early as 1879. I never knew that it was that early. And in fact, the very first Canadian Mormon chapel outside of Alberta was built right here in Winnipeg in 1914, over 100 years ago. It's a two-story amber brick building on Winnipeg Avenue with seating capacity for 200 people that has a baptismal font and living quarters down in the basement for missionaries. Now, by the 1950s, the building had become too small to meet the needs of the growing congregation. So in 1958, the Mormons moved to a newly constructed church on Academy Road. Today, the former chapel on Winnipeg Avenue is a Hindu temple and cultural center, and that second Mormon chapel on Academy has been vacated in favor of other facilities around the city.
And what's the fourth?
That would be the Church of Christ Scientist, a denomination founded in the U.S. in 1879 and formerly incorporated by the legislature here in Manitoba in 1907. The first Christian Science Church was built in two phases on River Avenue. The first phase, between 1910 and 1911, was just the foundation and the basement. In other words, they held services in the basement for a number of years. And this is actually quite a common story. We hear this quite often from that time period. And it took 5 years for the superstructure that we see today to be completed. Well, that superstructure has no longer serves a religious function because in 1911, the building was sold to a developer who converted it into residential apartments. A second Christian Science Church on Inkster Boulevard dates from 1932, and we're not quite sure of its present status, but just judging from the outside, it's clearly not a church. There's no signage or anything like that. We think it's probably a private residence.
So is there anything in general, Gordon, that you think we can learn from the buildings that you've mentioned today as compared to the former churches that you found to be abandoned?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the challenges of using an old former church is that they usually feature a large sanctuary space that doesn't necessarily lend itself to new uses. Most of the ones that I've mentioned today are in urban settings where, well, frankly, the opportunities for meaningful repurposing are more promising. In contrast, former churches in rural areas, well, they do pose a greater challenge. These buildings are frequently located in communities with populations that are just too small to support any new function. But successful repurposing of former churches has occurred. I think of places like Roland, where a church was turned into residential apartments, or Miami, where the church became a local art center. You know, so I do remain hopeful that efforts at places like Lauder and elsewhere will ensure that these important community buildings do remain part of Manitoba's historical landscape for many years to come.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, Manitoba has a wealth of wonderful museums in communities all over the province. And, you know, I am loath to recommend any one more highly than the others. They all deserve a visit. But a museum in Western Manitoba, founded by two cousins, is a gem that has an interesting backstory. And I'm going to share that story next week.
I do love a good backstory.
We'll talk to you then.
Thanks,
bye-bye
Gordon.
For now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.